Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 13th of August. Lucky day for everyone involved, I'm sure. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Happy Friday to the 13th, everyone.
Dun, dun, dun. And also with us today, we have a special guest to tell us about something pretty interesting right at the top of the show. I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thank you for having me on this Paraskiphodecatriophobia Day, I think.
Is it that one?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think that's the right word. Yeah. I think I'm putting my roots together. Not my hair roots. Other roots. Happy Friday the 13th. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here because we actually have some lucky news for people. And that is if you are a person who has been vaccinated, there are some alternates to just carrying around a picture of your card in the camera roll on your phone, right?
There are. Yeah. So, you know, with lots of places requiring vaccines and more coming online every day. Like, I'd like to go see Phish play. And now they just announced that for the second half of their tour, you need to have a vaccine or in some places, you know, you can show a negative test if you don't. But, I started looking into things and we got a comment in actually from listener Gary about a service called Vax Yes from the Go Get Doc people, which will put a vaccine passport in your Apple wallet, which I thought, okay, that's really cool. Super convenient place to have it.
Yeah.
How does this work? That was my question because, you know, how does it work? And it works because they have, in order for you to have something added to your wallet, someone needs to create the JavaScript object that will put it into your wallet, which means someone else needs to have your information in order to get that into your wallet. That's how that works. And this isn't a generate it yourself thing. What you do is you upload a picture of your vaccine card, the details about your vaccine, so dates and lot numbers and manufacturer of the vax. And then you also upload a picture of your ID. And they have two levels of your vaccine passport that gets put in your wallet. One is one that comes in right away that is based on the information you provided. And then another one where they say it takes days, but it took literally seconds, maybe a minute, where they review this data and make sure that your ID and this matches. And so that you get a reviewed card, a verified card by the Go Get Doc people and put that in your wallet. And it all works. I did it this morning. It works fine. But before I did it, and certainly before I came here to discuss it, I wanted to look into, okay, who are these people that are going to have this data that, you know, do I want to choose to give it to them or not? And as I said, the service is called Vax Yes. It's from a company called Go Get Doc, who is a San Francisco medical industry startup that's been around for several years. They're VC funded and all that stuff. So factor that into your decision process. The product that they have released so far, I mean, they've got a few of them, but the sort of their first one is a service called WellPay that aims to make the whole billing process a whole lot more customer friendly. And that's a great thing for anybody that's ever dealt with medical bills before. But yes. B, it means that they are well steeped and well regulated by all the HIPAA stuff because they have medical records for millions of people there. So this isn't just some dude that said, I know how to make wallet cards. So here's my website. I promise I won't sell your data. These are people that sort of have to legally promise that they won't sell or your data. And they also legally promise that they have to protect it. So I felt okay using this service. You may or may not, but now you know what I know. It is free. And like I said, it happens very quickly. There are a couple of others that I have found as well. The Clear people at clearme.com, the ones that you use biometrics to get you sort of past a lot of the long lines at airports and some like stadiums and things like that. They, in their app, have a way for you to do something very similar, but they don't give you a way of putting it in your wallet. You have to, it keeps the passport in the Clear app.
Okay. But that's still not in your camera roll as a specific place that you can go reasonably quickly, I imagine, open up and go, here, look, this is the thing. So,
but it is stored on someone else's server. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that matters to you is sort of, you know, why we talk about this stuff, especially on Security Friday. So there, you know, there are those types of solutions. Again, they're all third party solutions, right? There's no, certainly here in the US, no government agency saying, here's where you validate vaccines. But I will also point out to anyone who's ever been carded at a bar or buying liquor, there is also no validation happening there either. Right? When you present your driver's license to the bouncer at a bar or the clerk at a liquor store, that person looks at what you have and makes a decision based on that information alone. They do not and cannot access, say, your state's driver license registry database to confirm that that's you and all that stuff. So it doesn't happen with your driver's license. It also doesn't happen with your vax card. But I share that reference there because I think a lot of people have said, well, we need a way of verifying this. It's like, well, but we sort of have a history of not verifying these things.
Yeah.
And I don't want the clerk at the checkout to be able to access the state's driver's license registry. Like that opens up a whole can of worms that it would be terrible to have public access to this database. So in my opinion, if you don't want your data stored with someone else, and I would even do this in addition to one of these vaccine passports, because there's no guarantee that the place you are going that's requiring a vaccine passport will accept this random thing that you have put in your wallet, right?
That's true.
There's no approval process, right? So
it's possible the thing they want is the picture from your camera roll of your card. Yeah.
And if you're going to keep it in your camera roll, make it a favorite so that you can get to it quickly. But even better than that, scan it into a note. And that way it'll make it a PDF in notes and you can see it and it's right there. And you can
put a password on a note, which we've talked about.
That's true.
So if you're worried about keeping it secure, as we talk about often on Fridays, like making sure that you know what does and doesn't have access to your data, here you go.
Exactly. So there you go. There's all of there's everything I know. And I've told you more than I know.
All right. Well, that was the part that we needed. That was the thing that I was curious about. So we have at least a couple of options for you. And then the scan into a note is a very, very good tip. I like that one.
I would do that regardless of whatever else you've done, so that just so you have a way of showing someone a picture if that's what that particular place decides they need to see from you. Because you want to make this simple and easy. So, you know, you don't want to have to tell somebody, no, it's from the Go Get Doc people. It's really cool. You should check it out. Right. Like now you've slowed down the line behind you. So,
OK. So that's awesome. Thank you, Dave, for coming by to tell us about that. I have been I've been looking for a while for a good way to carry that around. And so I'm glad we have some other options. That's very good. Now, in other news, as usual, we have the part that makes me hope you're listening to this in the daytime, because we don't want to keep you up at night. So, Andrew, you have a PSA for us about a new term and condition, I guess I would say, from Ancestry.com.
Yes. So this was spotted by Gizmodo. There has been an update to Ancestry.com, which is one of the biggest genealogy websites around that helps you find your family history. But Gizmodo spotted that they recently updated their terms and conditions that give itself the rights to use your photos for any reason in perpetuity.
Okay.
And, they say these terms go into effect on September 2nd, 2021. You can read these articles to get a link to their blog post defending the issue, and actually go read the terms and conditions yourself. I would say something like this probably isn't that unusual. I think other companies like Facebook and Google for photos on their services that users upload, I think they have similar, terms.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of times what they actually want it for is they need to make sure they have the rights so they can show it to other people. So like when you log into something like Ancestry and you can see the pictures that other people have posted of that person or whatever, in order for them to be able to do that, sometimes the rights need to be a little different. So that's usually why that is. So for good or ill, and whatever your stance is on that, it has changed. And we want to make sure that you know that, because, again, data privacy and all of that, just knowledge, making sure that you know that's what's happening to your pictures. So that's all. Mm-hmm. So we have, and speaking of data privacy, we have an interesting privacy proposition, I guess, about pretty good phone privacy.
Yes. Let's see. Here we go. So this is from researchers at the University of Southern California. They have proposed a new way to limit the kind of location tracking that happens on cellular carriers and networks. They say even if you have GPS turned off, there's still a good chance your carrier is able to track your location, because when our phones connect to these networks, they send some kind of personal identifiers to them. But they propose this software fix called a pretty good phone privacy. And they say it decouples phone connectivity from authentication and billing by anonymizing these personal identifiers that get sent to these cell towers. So it sounds really fascinating. They say it sends an anonymous token by using a mobile virtual network operator. And they mention ones like Cricket or Boost to act as kind of an intermediary involved. It sounds really fascinating, I think. I don't know if these the cell phone companies will put this to use in their systems, but it's still a good thing that's out there.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, to be sure. Just as far as an idea to make this work. This sort of sounds to me a little bit like the approximate location stuff that you can do now in iOS.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like we can give you a vicinity, but not necessarily a location. That's usually what that reminds me of. So thank you for that. And we have an update this week in Apple Legal about Corellium.
So this is some following up on some old news. This has been going on for a couple years now. So Apple has reached a settlement with Corellium and has dropped its lawsuit. This story is from the Washington Post. So Corellium is a security company, and it creates and sells these like sort of virtualized iOS, virtualized iPhones to security researchers. Apple didn't like that. They sued the company in 2019, saying that a couple of things. So they said that Corellium was infringing on its copyrights because Corellium is copying, they say, the lawyer said, Corellium has simply copied everything, the code, the graphical user interface, the icons, all of it in exacting detail. And they also accused the company of selling these products to government agencies that could maybe use their software to find flaws in the official Apple software. Okay. So this has been going on for a couple years now. But as of this week, Apple has reached a settlement with Corellium. They say the terms of the settlement were confidential. But the Washington Post does say an email from Corellium confirmed that the company was still selling its virtual iOS devices.
Okay. Huh. All right, then. Well, there you go. And now we're in the home stretch, as you may imagine. And this week we have a practical tip for you that is actually pretty interesting. And part of why it was interesting to me was because I didn't realize that this wasn't what was already happening.
Same.
That was my takeaway, was like, wait, I can do that. If you're telling me I can do this now, what was I doing before? So, Andrew, tell us about what Firefox has added to version 91.
Yes. So if you're a Firefox user, our tip is really simple. Just update it to version 91. Mozilla says it introduces a feature called enhanced cookie clearing that is finally able to let you fully erase your browser history for any website. Okay. Because, you know, Kelly and I were saying, weren't we already doing that?
when I am going, you know, clear cookies, erase all history, like, I thought that was the thing that I was doing. And clearly the answer to that is no.
Yes. So Firefox says this enhanced cookie clearing, when you tell Firefox to figure out about a website, it will throw away all the cookies, super cookies, and all the data stored in the website's cookie jar, which is another feature of Firefox. And the enhanced feature removes other traces as well, and Mozilla explains what other website might be, website data might be lurking in the browser. Mm-hmm. They say cookies to, you know, keep you logged in or store preferences in your browser, but they say there's less obvious kinds of website data, like caches that can improve performance, or maybe offline data that allows certain web apps to work without an internet connection. They also say Firefox itself also stores data on your computer about sites you have visited, which can include your browsing history or some certain site-specific settings and permissions. So it sounds like this new data clearing will remove everything.
Okay. Well, that's good news. Mm-hmm. Again, slightly concerning news, because like I said, I thought I did that, but yeah. So a little bit weird. This is Firefox is continuing to add features. If you aren't paying attention to other browsers for whatever reason, Firefox has continued to try to add privacy features and also features that allow you to better manage the data that you're giving out as part of your web browsing. So they're continuing to upgrade ad blocking and different things like that as part of the browser, not something that you have to add a bunch of extensions to try and solve outside of what the browser can already do for you. So that's part of what Firefox is up to that makes it kind of interesting. So I'm glad to have that. That's going to do it for us today. If you have questions for us or if there's other things you want us to dig into a little bit more, as always, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I'd like to thank Andrew and Dave for being here today. I will talk to all of you Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. And let's be careful out there.